We're living and dealing with time. And time is going to bring the Lord back. And it says for us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. And if ever there's a time we need to redeem the times, it's right now. If we knew how quick the Lord is going to come back to this earth again, and how soon it's going to take place. Now, Daniel told us, he said at the end time, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Now, there's a space of time involved here. You see, Daniel said we don't have running to and fro now. We just got a bunch of buckboard wagons, and that's, you know, you might get out and run, walk, but get on a horse. That's about as fast as you could go. But the Bible in Micah, Nahum, and other places, it spake of fast traffic at the end time. Yes. And that was way back there, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was even born. It said knowledge is going to increase. Man's going to get smarter, and he's going to begin to invent things. And many are going to run to and fro. You see? Now, those are outstanding things that we know all about today. Do we know anything about highways today? You see? You ever take your map of Texas down, look at it, see how many little towns you got? And there's not hardly one of them what's got a paved highway from one town to the other. How many paved highways do we have in the state of Texas? Almost as many as you got people, almost. You never saw so many highways in your life. There's very few roads anywhere now that's not paved. But had you ever stopped to think back when I was a boy, there wasn't one in the United States nowhere. There wasn't one number one highway, concrete highway from town to town anywhere in America. They didn't have it. But now we have our whole nation laced with highways. But the Bible said that in the end time, the chariots are going to take on a new horsepower. And they're going to run like lightning. That means like, pew, that's the way they run. And he said they will jostle together. They'll wreck, jostle together. You know, you never hear of a horse run into another horse and a buggy run another buggy having a wreck. Said old Uncle John run into old Bill down there and they had a wreck on the highway. They didn't have no highway and they didn't have no wrecks because they had sense enough. Horse didn't run into a horse. But the Bible said they got torches out in front of them that shines light. Well, it got a light power inside of them. And he saw a night scene where there were thousands of chariots without horses racing down broadways, is all the way he had expected. Back there they had pig trails and, you know, little old roads, you know, that's muddy. None of them even had hardy rocks on them, but didn't have any highways. But he said that he saw broadways and he saw these chariots on them without horses, and they were running like lightning, and they were jostling together, and they had torches in front of them. But he said, now that'll all take place in the end time, in the day of the Lord's preparation. Now then, somewhere the horse has got to disconnect with his transportation and let some other kind of a apparatus take over. They come now and say, how many horses does this thing have? Oh, this engine here will put out so many horses. Well, today we have the chariots going down the highway without horses. And they're running like lightning. They got torches in front of them and they're running on broadways. Now, none of that was here, but the Bible said they would be here. You say, well, I know that. Yes, but we don't let it sink in and let it have effect upon us. He said it'll happen in the day of the Lord's preparation. God is preparing a people to take out of this world. And he said by Daniel, he said the end time knowledge is going to increase. Get smarter. Man would be able to use his brain to invent things. Now, It says that all these different things will come to pass in the same generation. I live to see the telephone. It used to be that, you know, this is odd, isn't it? It used to be that you could stick your hands, your fingers under your armholes and kind of stretch out your chest and be very proud if you had a telephone all by yourself. It used to be that they had the old thing hanging on the wall. Yeah. And you'd hear something go ring, 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 ring. Two longs and three shorts. Oh, that's Sister Who's It down the road. And then every woman on the line that had 14 on that line, and you'd hear them go click, 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 click. And they wanted this new fantastic thing that just came out. You can actually hear people as they give their private conversation. Let's eavesdrop. And finally they'd say, would you please hang up? You're cutting the power down so I can't even hardly hear. Will the neighborhood please hang up and let us be able to talk? Oh, they fussed all the time. But they knew, they didn't know who they was. Said, well, I'm going to stay hooked up and listen to them talk. You did? Yeah. Oh, bought, and he paid for it. Cash money, where he got the money. Why? I don't know. And here, you listen to that conversation. That used to go on all the time. You know why? Because they didn't have it fixed to where everybody could have it. They just have a line strung fine. They have to have a line for everything, you know. And now they can take one wire and they can let 1,000 people talk over one wire. That's brain, brother. Then finally they've taken that one wire, threw it away and don't use it at all. They can just send it through the air just as easy and quick as that. Finally, they used to tell about a television that'd be able to see a person when they'd stand up and walk. I said, that's for the day. That's when men's getting smart in the end time. When God, the Bible said time is going to bring it to pass. And so finally one day, now when the radio first came out, oh, don't you know we rolled in those beautiful radios with all kind of tubes. And don't you know they had all kind of fantastic speakers. Don't you know that? I'll tell you how they came in. You go get an oatmeal box and you take some old wire, copper wire, and you string it around that oatmeal box about a dozen times. And you go down to the store and you rake up 35 cents. And you buy a little crystal. And you take that crystal and hook it to a little copper wire. You go down and you pay $1.25 for a pair of headsets. You put the headsets on your head to listen. And you take that little old crystal and you wiggle it around on that crystal. And directly here comes in a station as clear as a bell. You can hear everybody. You can hear the guitars and the horns. You can hear the piano and the organ. I never will forget. That was the first sound I ever heard on a radio in my life. It was on an old crystal set. Now, don't look at me like I'm some Santa Claus and I'm old. I'm talking about what I'm talking about. It's happened in our day. But we're not stirred. It doesn't stir us. We just go right along like that. But I remembered, I listened to it. And I tuned in and I couldn't hardly, man, my eyes got to rolling. I began to smile. I began to listen to it. I was really experiencing something that was out of this world. How in the world could they get it out of the air and get it in through that oatmeal box and through that little old wire and through that little old crystal and put it in my headset? And they had to, I forget his name now, Lombardo or something like that way back there. But I heard him play, I'll see you in my dreams. And it was just as clear. And I thought, boy, howdy, an old oatmeal box and a 35 cent crystal and $1.25 headset. And here I'm fixed up with an orchestra. But now we go down and for a few dollars we get a beautiful thing that has FM, AM, and I guess a lot of other kind of M's on it. And you can just hook up all kind of stations. You can tune out the ones you want to tune out and tune in the ones you want to tune in. Brother, we've gone somewhere. But then they got to talking about a television. And the first thing you know, you looked at that thing and you couldn't believe it. Here's someone come stepped out there and your eyes was bugging out and you saw them begin to talk to you. And you didn't see how, and you'd go around back of that thing and look in. When nobody was looking, you know, and you'd peep in and just wonder how in the world it can work. There they are moving about and they don't have, how do they get in there? There's no air, there's no wire here. It just comes out of the air. Man getting smart. Why, the book said he'll get smart. In the end time, in the day of the Lord's preparation, knowledge shall increase. Then they finally said, we're going to build an apparatus and put a man in it and send him to the moon. Let him get out on a little tricycle and run around and be able to photograph it and send it back to the earth and put it in your bedroom. And you can louse back in your bedroom and watch a man roll around on the moon. I thought, now that's for the day. But one day they shot it off. One day they landed. And here come the little go-kart. And they rolled out there and I was watching them. They had a camera setting out there taking it and shooting it back 27,000 miles to the earth and 270,000, I forget what it is now. But anyway, they shot it back to the earth and shot it out in the air. I had a little thing out there called an antenna. It picked it up and brought it in my room. And all over the face of the earth, they could watch them walk on the moon. Brother, that's smart. God said it would happen. Men's knowledge would increase in the end time. Men would fly through the air as a bird to her prey, eagle to her prey. An eagle never flies to her prey flopping its wings. That's when she's touring through the country to see what she wants to look at. But when she gets ready to go to her prey, she stretches out her wings in a nosedive and down she comes. And God said men would fly through the air with their wings stretched out and they would go through the air. And it also said another place that they would fly through there as a dove to the window. Now when a dove flies to the window, he comes out like that. And when he hits the window, his wings are still outstretched because he doesn't realize it's a window. Now it said when these apparatuses land, they don't fold up their wings. Their wings stretch right out. So God described it the best way they had of telling what they saw. God showed them what had happened. But we have airplanes here today. We have scientific knowledge. Doctors, medical science has reached the top. We have electronics. It's amazing what electronics can do today. They can take the whole Bible. This whole Bible here. They can take this whole Bible and print it on a piece of whatever they call it, as big as my thumb. What do they call it? Microfilm. They put it on the microfilm and it's no bigger than the end of my thumb. But the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is written on that piece. Brother, that's smart. It used to take something about 12 by 12 for us to put on it, Papa, I love you. But I'm going to tell you now, you can take the whole Bible and put it on a microfilm as big as the end of your thumb. What does that say to me? It tells me that God's no fool. He declares the end from the beginning. He sees the clouds coming. He knows what's going to happen. God's not lost in space. He's not nervous. He's not losing no battle. He foretold it. He knew it had happened. But he knows there's going to be a blast of a trumpet and time is going to bring it to pass. Time is going to bring it to pass. He foretold us and said, Israel is home now. They got their place of worship down there. But he said, as of now, they're through. And he said, their house is left desolate because they didn't know the day of the visitation. Said they've already made the mistake. There's no backing up now. They shall fall by the edge of the sword. No other alternative. They've got to fall by the edge of the sword. And they have got to be led out of Jerusalem. They have got to be led away captive to every nation under heaven. And stay there until the end time. And at the end time, I will bring them back. That's what Jesus said out on that mountain. You read it. He said he looked over Jerusalem at night and he saw the twinkling lights at night and he wept. He cried. They said, "What's the matter, Lord? You're crying." He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathered a brood? But you wouldn't let me gather you. Now your house is left desolate." Your house is left desolate. AD 70, right after that, Titus came in, took Jerusalem, and burned the city. While Jesus was talking, he said, "There's not going to be one stone of that temple left upon another. It'll be thrown down. And you'll have no place of worship. You'll have no temple. And you'll be sent to all parts of the earth, and you'll become a hiss and a byword." Right. Have they? That's right. Have they wound up in every nation under heaven?
Right.
Go to Canada, you find them. You go to Russia, you find them. And you go to Japan, you find them. Go to China, you find them. And you go to America, you find them. You go to Russia, you go to France, England. You go to Spain, and you go to Greece. And anywhere for 1900 years, you go to them and say to the Jews, "Where is your home?" "We don't have any." Well, the Africans have their home. All the different states in Africa, they have their place. Spain has their home. Portugal has their home. And China has their home. India has their home. And Germany has their home. Canada has their home. And every people on the face of the earth had a nation and had a flag and had a government and had an independence where they could call home, and they were part of that place. But there was only one people on the face of the earth,
yes,
that had not one square foot of place for their own, or they could call their own. They could put a government there or put up a flag, because they were on other territories. They were not on their own. Why? Because they rejected their Messiah. They rejected their Christ. And when they rejected him, God's word tells us that he would take them and cast them out of the vineyard and turn the vineyard over to another people bringing forth fruit. And they cried, "My God," or "God forbid," because that was a prophecy against them. Did it happen? He took the vineyard away from them. He turned it over to the Gentiles. And we find at that time, any Jew can get saved if they come to Christ, but there's not many of them been coming. But where did they go? They went to every nation under heaven. Where did he say they'd go? He said, "You'll go to every nation under heaven." What'll happen? You'll fall by the edge of the sword. They did. What happened to the temple? Every stone was cast down. There wasn't one left on another. Time brought his words to pass. When Titus came in, he said, "Tear that temple down." And he said, "Just a minute, boys." He said, "Give the order to all of my officials to have the laborers see to it that when they tear it down, they'll go clear to the foundation and not leave one stone on the other. Because in burning the temple, it has gold all in the temple, and it could have run down through the crevices. And for that reason, they wanted to be sure to remove it and if there was any gold anywhere." And so the command was given, had there been one stone left there that had not been moved, Jesus Christ would have opened his mouth and made a statement that did not come to pass. Because he said, "Not one stone shall be left upon another." Not two or three or four. He said, "Not one." Now, what was the commission? move every stone and see to it that not one stone is left unturned. Why? His words must come to pass. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will prepare it and I will come again, and time is going to send me into glory. And it did. Time is going to cause me to have Jerusalem completed. Time is going to cause an angel to give out a blast of a trumpet, and I'm coming again for my people. You know, the disciples came to Jesus when he's getting ready to go, and they said, Lord, just a minute, said, you know, I want you to straighten my thinking out. We Jews had an idea that our Messiah would come and set up a great kingdom and deliver us from our captors, like they always have back, you know. We pray, we get into, we're slaves to the Roman Empire, you see. We're not an independent nation. We're here, and we have all the Roman soldiers over us. Pilate and all them are Romans. They're Italians, and we're captives. We are here in our nation, but we have those men over us, and we are taxed, and we're under heavy taxation, and we were hoping Messiah would come to be a deliverer and to set us up and become our king. Now, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you let us become an independent nation now and let our flag go up again? We you know, time after time and time and time and time and again, we sin and we go into captivity. We pray and God sends a deliverer and we come back. Now, we were hoping that you would be the one that would bring us out of this captivity, out from under the Roman Empire, set us up an independent nation, become a king to it. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to the disciples, he said, son, it's not for you to know the times. That's what I'm talking about this morning, times. The times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But, let's forget that now, but I got something to tell you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You're going to go out and you're going to invade the world. You're going to go into all nations of the earth preaching the gospel of Christ. I have a kingdom. Now, the kingdom is not with observation. You don't build up something and say, look at that kingdom. The kingdom is on the inside of you. You are housing my kingdom, and I have put my kingdom in you. And when people are converted by the gospel, they're born into the kingdom by a new birth. I am a member of the kingdom of God. And he said, this kingdom is not going to go like the Roman Empire. Said it's going to pass away. It'll do it. And it did. Time put it in its grave. Now, he said, every great kingdom, the Roman Empire, it went. Medes and Persians went. And the Grecian kingdom went. And the Babylon kingdom went. And the Syrian kingdom before it went. And the Egyptian kingdom under the Sati II. It had to go. All the great kingdoms went. But he said, this kingdom shall never have an end. It shall endure forever and forever. And it's here today. It has been bit at, cussed at, kicked at, fought at, misunderstood, but he said the gates of hell shall not prevail. It'll press on. It'll go through with its banners waving high until I come again. I think I need to sing now, the cross is not greater than his grace. All this I've told you is the truth. You know, long as you look over there and you hear that little old thing saying tick, 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 tick. You know what it's doing? It's telling you time's still here. One day, an angel will put his foot on the land, saying, it got power over it. Put the other foot out in the sea, said, it got power over it. Take his hand and raise it up to heaven. I got power over the heavens. And with one foot on land, one foot in the sea, one foot raised to heaven, one hand raised to heaven. Didn't have 3 feet. man with that one hand raised to heaven, he says, time shall be no longer. Brother, but I'm going to tell you, it said, occupy until I come. That means go in, possess, take over, and put up God's flag and continue to occupy until I come. And now on every island in this world, we have witnesses for Christ. We're on the radio waves covering all America, all of South America, all of Europe, all of Asia. And in the darkest parts of Russia, there are those that are banding together, binding satanic forces. And in the frozen parts of Alaska, they're downplaying the power of God down. In the black parts of Africa, they're there worshiping God with a knowledge of salvation. And the world today is enjoying the privilege of salvation. You know, time put it there. Time is bringing him out of heaven the next time. And we're going to be caught up to meet him. Time is going to put the Antichrist on the throne. Time is going to bring every human being in the world that has not the blood applied to him. It'll deceive every nation, kingdom, tongue, and people. Time will bring a mark upon people, and they can't buy a loaf of bread or a gallon of gas. They can't even purchase a house or marry or have nothing to do with society if they don't have a mark. And if they have it, they're eternally doomed. I don't want to go through that. He said, watch and pray that you might be accounted worthy to escape. People today, they don't watch, and they sure don't want to pray. They want to have a good time. They want to live it up. They want to get their beer, their pack of beer, and they want to have their little fun. They want to have their pleasure. And they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If you say anything to them, why, I'm a member of a certain church, dead as a dead fish. No life in them, never been born again, and know nothing about an overcoming life, but just a dead church member. Brother, it's going to take more than that to go. We're going to sing here. My voice is a little hoarse. Maybe it's because I preach so. Cross that he gave may be heavy, but it'll never outweigh his grace. Storms that I fear may surround me, but they'll never exclude his face. Well, the cross is not greater than his grace, and the storms cannot hide his blessed face. Well, I'm satisfied to know that with Jesus here below, I can conquer every foe. I won't, instead of singing the other, I'm going to read the request right away, and we're going to pray. But I'm going to tell you this before I do. I want you to listen to this, every one of you. I talked to a lady in my office about 2.5 weeks ago. She came in from Fort Worth. She lives up by Belton. They have a big ranch there, cattle ranch, horses. They raise these stallions and various kind of, not race horses, but horses that people ride and like, the cowboys like them. So they're pretty well fixed and all. But she comes to Fort Worth and spends the week there and lets her boy go to school because this place where they live don't have a good school. And it's just a natural, normal thing. Every week she comes, spends the week there, and then she goes in on Friday evening. And she's there at their home out in West Texas, where the cattle is. And this woman was bound by demon powers, by black magic, and by spiritualism, spiritualist. And they were dealing with Ouija boards. And she told hair-raising experiences. And because this was supernatural, and it was something that was far beyond the human, they delved into this thing, and Satan was really taking them all in. She woke up to the fact, and God spoke to her, this power that you think is of me. She thought it was God. God spoke to her and he said, this power is of Satan, and it's not of me. She becomes so alarmed that in the mid hours of night, she got up and got in her car and went over to the woman they always worked together with. And she said, listen, woman, we are on the wrong track. This thing that we've been dealing with is of the devil. She got down and she prayed through. She had lived a very immoral life. She had lived a sinful life. She had done a lot of things that was wrong. But when she knelt, she prayed and she sought God, and the Lord came in. Without any knowledge of any Pentecostal experience, people telling her, she was wonderfully born again by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Born again. And she sat in my office, and this is what she told me. She said, I got in a church and began to go to church. And some of the ones at the church, they didn't know too much about praying, but I told them that we must pray. So they would go, had certain women there that knew that was right, and they'd go and pray. And she said when she was down at the altar praying, trying to get a hold of God and worshiping him, the hounding accusations from Satan would come and told her that the sin she committed was so great that God couldn't forgive him, and that she needed to try to serve God. And while she was there, she began to weep and she began to cry because she wanted to serve the Lord, but something had told her that her sins were so great that she couldn't be forgiven. And right then, she went out into a vision. She saw a vision. And she said, Brother Hibbard, this is what I saw. And if ever a human being was telling the God's truth, that woman was. You could tell that. She said, I saw a huge scale. And it was brass with a great stand, and it had an arm, and it had a pan over here on this side, and I was over here on this side, and all at once I saw myself appear on that pan, and then one by one I saw sins coming at my feet in that great big pan I was standing in. Now remember, it had a big bar across it, and there was another pan on the other end. She was on this end. And every sin that would come in, she recognized the sin that she had committed and she's guilty of. God let her see her sins come one by one to that pan, and they rested at her feet. And every time a sin would come, she would go down just a little bit further. And here would come another sin of immorality and go down. And she said, Brother Hibbard, all kinds of sin. They would come and I would see them and they would lay at my feet. And each time my scale, my pan that I was in would go down a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, until finally it hit the bottom and I was surrounded with my sins. And there I looked at this plight, and I thought, Lord, that is my condition. And all at once, she saw something appear, a beautiful sight. Jesus Christ appeared, and he came and stood on the scale. And when he rested upon the scale, she began to be lifted. And as she began to be lifted, all of the sins were piled off. She found herself being changed. The filthy garments were made white. And directly she went up high, and Christ hit the bottom. And she said, Lord, oh, I'm saved. You did it. But Lord, you had to go down to bring me up. He said, my child, I did that for you 1,900 years ago. Brother, you could take that out in the country and just preach that and not even have a Bible. Get people saved. Oh, hallelujah. All my sins are gone. Why? He got on the other scale. And when he got on the other pan, brother, his sacrifice, his death on Calvary, his blood overweighed every sin that I ever committed. And I'm so glad that we have redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how many feel like you've been to church today?